GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. This is the Newsmakers Hour. Maine Senate President Troy Jackson and Democratic legislative leaders in Augusta unveiling a suite of health care related bills. George, you're on the PDQ or telephone line with Maine Senate President Troy Jackson to talk about them now on the George Hill Rick Tyler Show.
Good morning, Troy. It's a pleasure to be back with you, and there's a lot to talk about today. How are you?
Very good, George. I'm a little concerned listening to the weather on here, talking about all the rain. How's it in Florida?
Well, we'll just say that it's normal. The Maine Democrats have rolled out a whole bunch of bills, I guess five that I know of, to hold down prescription drug prices, health care costs, that kind of thing. Everybody wants to do that, but we're going to try to get to the nitty-gritty of this. Why don't you give me the overview of this as Maine Democratic lawmakers put this group of bills out?
Yeah, well, thanks, George. I mean, your point, I think a lot of people want to lower the cost of health care, but not everyone. That's obviously what the problem is. And, what we're trying to do here is, as a state, go at prescription drugs every way that we can. It's obviously hard as a state to do things because the federal government has a big ability to say that we can do that or this is a role of the federal government through the FDA. But over the last couple of sessions, we've been taking an approach of trying everything we can to make a difference in that regard. And some of the bills, one of the bills that we have is to create a board of accountability. It's modeled after a couple of other states. Massachusetts is one. They've had tremendous success with it, going after what the costs are, transparency, having somebody in there that is, able to go after numbers and work on this all the time. Senator Claxton has a bill about the systematic raising of prices of bills. Drugs over time, over the years. Insulin is one of those drugs. I mean, it's been on the market a long time. And we consistently see, raises in costs of insulin. It's a life-saving drug that many, many people across this state and across this country need. And a drug like that that's been on the market for so long that has had no changes, doesn't have the research and development that they argue that, newer drugs. Another bill that I have is actually giving the Attorney General the ability to go after drug companies if they have tremendous spikes over a short amount of time, like in the case of a couple of years ago with what happened with the EpiPens, having the drug maker explain why it is that they had to have such a significant increase. And if they couldn't explain it, if they couldn't show the evidence of why, then the Attorney General's office would have the right to, pursue that and stop them from charging those prices. Senator Breen has another one in for insulin. It's a program to help people in emergencies with insulin. But the idea is that, this is an awful problem for people across the state and across this country. And we wait for the federal government. We wait for the federal government. And help does not come, and we're trying to take every opportunity we can as a state to effect change.
Well, the bills, and let's go down through a little bit of it. The time when laws become personal is when you are affected by them. I'll give you just an illustration. Yesterday, I had to go to a pharmacy. I picked up a drug that I've been on here for a year or so. And the copay came to a little over $100. And I said to the pharmacist, okay, if I didn't have the insurance I have, which is good, what would I be paying? And the response came back, you'd be paying $1,100. And that kind of set me back on my heels. I paid like $100 for it as a copay. But suppose I didn't have the insurance. Suppose I didn't have the protection. All I could say was, wow.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, that's a big part of what the cost driver is in health insurance nowadays. And I believe that, work that we've done over the last two previous sessions is a big part of the reason why, the Bureau of Insurance has said that overall, this year, health insurance, you know, should be as much as a 13% decrease, because everyone knows, the health insurance companies knows that, like I said, a big driver in the rise in healthcare is prescription drugs. And it's such a game. I mean, you know, last session we went after the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers. You know, they're in there too, telling people that it's pharma. Pharma's telling people that it's the PBMs. So we just went after both of them, because we both felt that they were playing games, raising prices, and you know, profiting off it. And it's, you know, country after country has price caps on prescription drugs. They're the same prescription drugs made all across this world. It's only the United States that lets this become such a profit-making industry that, I mean, it's, we're talking billions and billions of dollars. I mean, look at the Sacra family with, you know, opioids and stuff like that. I mean, obviously that's not, well, I was going to say it's not life-saving. I mean, for some people at the time, you know, with their pain, it probably was. But, the you know, the money that they made on that industry and like you said, the insulin industry, it's just obscene, and there's no, you know, how much is enough for these people? And we heard stories just yesterday. I mean, I hear them all the time. I mean, it's a big part of the reason why I got in the legislature. But, you know, we heard stories of mothers that were, you know, scared to death for their children that had to have insulin, had to have insulin their whole lives. And exactly what you said, George, if you don't have health insurance, it's hard enough if you have health insurance. But what if you don't have health insurance? And we have a whole bunch of people in this country that don't.
Well, Maine is one of 18 states that has prescription drug price gouging laws on the books. And you pointed out Massachusetts, there's others, New York, Maryland, also have some type of response to that. Now, it's going to take a lot of work to get it done. I haven't heard out of the other side yet. The Senate Republicans are looking at it. The governor's office are looking at it. What are you hearing in response?
Well, you know, what I'm hearing in response is people across the state that are Democrats and Republicans that are fed up with what's going on in this country. And that's what, you know, we're going after, is trying to make a difference here. Now, you know, a number of years ago, you know, we had legislation in that was, you know, partisan, and we were able to pass it. Actually, Governor LePage let it go in the law without his signature. Last session, we had a number of great bills, and we had unanimous support on them. I'm hoping that we'll get unanimous support on these bills too, because it's the right thing to do for the people in our state, and regardless of political affiliation.
Well, it's going to take a lot of, I guess, cooperation across the lines to get this thing done. But everything has a cost. There's no free lunches, we often say. Sooner or later, I'll have to ask the question, I will right now. What about a fiscal note to all of this, these five proposals? We know where we are now. Where are we going to be on the future? Drug prices are increasing. Cost of healthcare is increasing. What is the cost to us as taxpayers?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, to your point about, you know, other states and stuff like that, I mean, we know that, you know, Big Pharma is going to come after us, regardless of political affiliation, like they have down in D.C. And like they have in states overall, you know, but we've rejected that. But as far as cost of the taxpayer for these bills, I don't believe they have any financial costs, because a couple of them are with the Attorney General's office. I mean, you know, they have obviously a large staff in there, making them or giving them the authority to do these things, I think is exactly their role. The one for the accountability board, I believe we had this bill in last session, but weren't able to finish it off because we couldn't come back in. The OFPR had a note on there of $100,000, which is obviously nothing to sneeze at. But, I mean, I think $100,000 to save taxpayers' money all across for their prescription drugs and making it hopefully more affordable for them, I think we're definitely going to, you know, get the cost of that $100,000 to sign, set that board up paid back, you know, many, many, many times over.
Well, the price gouging part of it, that's in your bill, I think, would trigger a review by the AG. if the drug price increased by more than $30 for a 30-day prescription of a generic or for non-generic, how do we come to these facts? How do we generate the fact that $30 is the right amount?
Well, I mean, obviously that's something that, you know, can be debated in the committee and in the legislature. You know, we felt that was, you know, significant to say that it was a drastic increase, you know, an overnight drastic increase. We thought that was, you know, a good starting point. I mean, if I had a prescription drug and they went up by $30 overnight like that, I would wonder why that is. What happened that it just went up to that extreme amount? But like I said, I think that number is definitely open to debate, which is, you know, fine. Some people may actually argue that it should be lower than that, but I'm more than willing to have that debate. What I'm talking about is we know that all of a sudden, you know, even during this pandemic, we had prescriptions drugs that just exploded overnight because they were thought to be helpful for the COVID, and pharma was able to jack the prices up. And you know, you can see an increase, but to the extent that some of these things, you know, double, tripled, that just doesn't, that's not fair, it's not right, and it's not needed.
We're talking to Senate President Troy Jackson, the Democrat from the Allegash, on the rollout of the Democrats' health care reform package. There are a lot of bills, there are about five. One bill would establish an Office of Affordable Health Care. All right, that would study why health care costs increase and would offer policy solutions to the lawmakers based on the findings. It's a bit of a expansion, I guess, in government. What would the Office of Affordable Health Care look like?
Well, it would be small, but it would have somebody dedicated there, you know, to start to work on these things. I mean, that's part of the problem with the legislature. I mean, you know, we're a group of citizens that many of us have, you know, a lot of strengths and things like that. But most all of us have other jobs, other things that, you know, doesn't allow us probably to work on these issues as much as we'd like to. Having a professional in there that can be dedicated to going after these things. I mean, like I said, we modeled it after the state of Massachusetts that had, like, unbelievable success in driving down the costs of healthcare and prescription drugs in their state. And while it would be small to start, I think it'll show great evidence that it's going to be, you know, a good expansion as far as state government and a place that's much needed. And like I said, the ability to save taxpayers, consumers money, because I mean, obviously we're paying taxpayer dollars through the main care system. Be able to save taxpayers and consumers money through an office like this and get, you know, quality health care for people that's affordable, I think is worth you know, the minimal you know, cost that this office would be.
Well, we go down this road. Each administration tries to do the best they can. The Democrats passed some bills in 2019. One of those was to allow wholesale drugs from Canada. So far, we haven't got a federal waiver on that one. Then there's the cost of insulin. It's just a lot of work that has to be done. What's next?
Well, it's like I said, I mean, you know, it's hard as a state, and you see this all across. I mean, you're in Florida today. You know, Florida actually went after the importation aspect, too, and they were the only state that's actually got, well, from the past administration, Trump administration, you know, got, you know, some response back that was, you know, positive. It didn't allow them to, but the point is that states after states, you know, we've been a leader on some of this. We've looked at other states, what they're doing, and copied on other things. States realize that, you know, Washington's gridlocked. You know, the pharmaceutical industry has way too many lobbyists that are spending way too much money to keep things the way they are, and states are trying to do whatever they can. And so, you know, we would love to get that federal waiver to allow importation. You know, last week I spoke to the British consulate about a whole host of things, but prescription drugs was one of the conversations we had. Obviously, where I live, I mean, you know, it's right on the New Brunswick and Quebec border. We've talked to them. You know, we'd love to have that opportunity because we know those prescriptions are cheaper, they're safe, and we can, you know, we already have consumers that are getting them, but they feel like they're breaking the law. We need to do more of that. We need to, you know, have a willing partner in the federal government to make sure that, you know, pharma is held accountable and people across this country get affordable, safe prescription drugs.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.